Hey everyone, welcome back as we watch stuff number 186. I am Jeremy, fresh from vacation, not really, with Shahid. What is going on, man?
Nothing much, just enjoying myself after getting a nice relaxing haircut. And you make fun of me when I get my haircut. I'm like, yeah, but you don't get orange slices on your eyebrows as you get a facial when head cut.
I was not making fun of you getting a haircut. It's just funny that we both are follically challenged, and you say you get a haircut. And I'm like, I get what you're doing. It just sounds funny. So now I'm not letting what you just said go by. What?
Yes.
They're wasting oranges? You don't need them
damn waste. No, ain't no damn waste. It's used to help me relax. What are you talking about? It's like saying you waste a paper towel after using it. No, it served a purpose. That's what the orange slices did. Served them. Please, I believe in luxury as much as possible.
You're so bougie, it pisses me off sometimes. Jesus Christ.
I'm just laying there relaxed, getting massaged with the orange slices on there. I'm like, this is the life.
Okay, so you're not going to like the barber shop. You're going to a salon then.
Yeah, it's a barbershop on one side, salon the other side. Like, I go on the salon side because I get haircut, scalp shampoo, facial, the whole works.
You get a what?
You heard what I said? Yes.
What the fuck?
I get the whole. I take care. Look.
What the hell is that?
Look, CrossFit man, you take care of your body your way. I take care of mine my way.
Okay. All right. What is, we got real shit to talk about, but all right. Wait a minute. What is a scalp massage or a scalp shampoo?
No, like they wash my head.
Oh, doubt. Yeah. All right.
And then like massage. You know, finger wash, not the rag or nothing like that. It's like it's very delicate and gentle. That's why I say it that way.
Okay.
So yes, and I know you like rolling your eyes. You sound jealous. You should have at least do that for you. You'll probably have a better sense of humor.
I just never heard of something like this before. So, I shaved my own head. I don't know. Before I got married, you know when you saw me at the wedding and all that stuff, I actually went to Great Clips for that. That cost me $15. Mm-hmm. I could have done the same damn thing at home. So that's the last time I've ever like gotten my hair cut. Yep. So anyways, well, hopefully you're not too relaxed, because we got some stuff to talk about. I've got other jokes, but we got to get into the show. So while I was in the Isle of Palms, and yes, I have all my appendages still, I remembered Comic-Con was this past weekend, which I forgot last year. Boy, there's a lot to go over, and I know it's a little bit past it now, but damn. Where do we begin? I guess, do you want to start with Top Gun, since we already started kind of talking about that real quick?
Yes, I want to talk about it because the trailer dropped, and all these middle-aged men and women just lost their mind. It's like, I need to hear Danger Zone again. And I'm watched, like, don't get me wrong, like, the trailer looks nice.
Oh, yeah.
I
mean,
that's probably an understatement. Like, it looks awesome. And, you know, you see, I love how they describe the fact, like, you know, you've been in the military a zillion years, you aren't kicked out, you've never got a promotion, what's going on? Like, he somehow, you know, like, that whole, he's still a captain.
Yeah.
After all this time, and he's not retired, you know, and instead of beach volleyball, they have beach football, and it's almost kind of like all the stuff you remember from Top Gun updated for 2019. And I'm like, that's cool. I go online, all these old people are batshit. They lose their damn minds. I'm like, maybe I missed this whole Top Gun is this classic thing, because I've heard it all the time. I've heard people talking about how revolutionized action movies made Tom Cruise a star, yada, yada, yada. And all that's true. Personally, I always thought Top Gun was overrated.
We were talking about this before the show, before we said, hey, we should start recording. I don't remember much about it. Like I was saying before, most of what I remember is how people made fun of it. And that's really about it. Like, I know they tried redoing it again with, you know, what was it? A car racing movie, Days of Thunder. Tried doing the same thing.
There. I mean, it was the same director, same story.
Producer,
so
yeah. But no, I don't know when Top Gun became this thing. Like, I know when it was also one of the first movies went on DVD, I believe. That was when, like, sound systems for the home got really insane. And that was always the one that you would test with. That was always the one. So you had your subwoofer, you had your speakers, and you get it sound up so your whole room would shake when the jets would go off.
Yeah. It's always basically Top Gun and Die Hard.
Yeah, and that was about it. Like, okay. I know there's, like, just everything we said off air. Like, the way everyone just kind of makes fun of it now, or did. And then I know when they started talking about, like, making a sequel for it, I was like, okay. But, okay. Like,
it seems silly when they first thought. They were like, you sure? Because they've been talking about this for, like, 4 years when they first start talking about, you know, doing a sequel. Like, it wasn't like this whole, oh, we just dropped the hair. They were talking about this for a while. It's like, oh, yeah, we working out the script and yada, yada, yada. And people were like, really want to see this? I mean, I guess, because you know how people feel about sequels anyway.
Yeah.
Especially like sequels, like classics. That's like, you know, it's not like Top Gun came out 5 years ago. Top Gun came out in the '80s.
Yeah, and let me see. I meant
almost like probably like what 30 years ago, almost.
Let's see. Yeah, 86. So 33 years ago.
Yes. And it's not a lot of precedence. Yeah, it's not a lot of precedence to a sequel from a movie like 30 years ago.
Yeah, and I'd be curious to know. It probably would take a little too long to look up. I'd be curious to know what the reviews were like for it.
You know? I already know. I remember it was mixed from critics, and like fans like loved it. It was like fans liked it more than critics did, and a lot of critics were saying like, you know, this is almost like a war propaganda movie, which ain't wrong. And like I remember reading like Navy recruitment went up a lot for like 6-7 years after the movie came out.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, you know, this is like the coolest thing ever. I want to be a pilot. And it was right around this whole, we just about stopped doing Vietnam movies. So now it's like war. So now it's like, you know, war's cool again.
Yeah. I remember the whole Navy enlistment thing because I remember in college even, like it would have been 6 years later, but they were still using that movie for like on campus. Like, hey, remember this? Like, no, not really, but okay. I mean, you had that made the aviator sunglasses very popular. Besides, outside of the police, and then you also had that with the leather jacket and all that look with the bomber jacket, I should say, not the leather. Well, I guess it's leather, but that's. I mean, maybe it had a bigger influence than we both expected, but
it certainly did. But it just feels like this whole. I mean, it's the thing, like, I get the reason why it's so important, but personally, me, like, I've never gotten a movie. Like,
right.
They go to pilot school, they train to be fighter pilots, he kills his friend, he's about to quit, and then they have some skirmish somewhere, you know, some unnamed skirmish with the Russians, and it's all, like, Tom Cruise doing Tom Cruise stuff and Val Kilmer doing Val Kilmer stuff, they playing volleyball and jeans.
Yeah.
all oiled up, and he keep flexing his arm to check how much time he got left to go to the crib for his date. It's like, yeah, it's the 80s. The 80s weren't as cool as people remember it to be. Like, I grew up in the 80s. I'm like, it was all right. You look back now, it's like, yeah, it was stupid.
I don't know, man. I mean, Kelly McGillis back then, she was the shit.
I mean, dog. I've always made the joke that until Predator and Die Hard came out, there are a few action movies that age well. Like, movies from that time, like, it wasn't up until, like, the late 80s where it's like, you go watch a movie and bring it out now and enjoy it just for its sake and not have to have nostalgia. And I'm like, and for me, it's like, I don't have any nostalgia related to Top Gun. So, all that cheesy, it's like, I got enough cheesy stuff watching Rocky.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I grew up watching Rocky, so I have nostalgia from that. I don't have the same nostalgia for Top Gun, so it was like, Okay.
No, but I know that's what made, what was it? It was Bruckheimer, and who was the other guy?
Don Simpson.
That's it. And then Don Simpson died relatively soon. Well, not soon, but, you know.
90s, right before The Rock came out.
Yeah. Because that was the first one without him, right?
I think he, either that one or the next one was the first one without him.
Okay. Yeah, it would be Con Air then. Yeah. Con Air was the first one without him. That's right. I don't know why I know that. So, but anyways, yeah. Now, the one thing that really, the catalyst for getting recording, we kind of rehashed some of the stuff we said. Now, one thing about that trailer, is he flying the damn plane? Because we know what he does in
Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible flicks. Now all of a sudden, it looks like he's flying an F-16. I'm guessing it's an F-16 still. If so, I don't know what to. I mean, what do you say? That's insanity.
I mean, if he's the recruitment.
Just.
And it's like, I mean, if he can do it, he signed a waiver. Tom Cruise. We've seen him. I'm like, yeah, it's Tom Cruise. I wouldn't be surprised if he learned how to fly a fighter jet at this point in life. Like, he's at this point where it's like, I want to show people. That's one of the beauties about Top Gun is like, it's the stuff you see is basically the stuff they're doing is like real for the most part.
Yeah.
And it's a reason why a lot of action movies that do real stunts age well, because it's like when a building blows up, a building blows up.
Yeah.
We know how a building, you know, like, you know what a building looks like when it blows up, and you don't got to fake it. Like, it's always going to look cool. It's always going to sound a certain way. With CGI technology, it's like, yeah, like, some of it don't age well. Some of it's kind of dodgy, you know, after like a few years.
Yep.
And you just notice it. So practical stuff like tends to age well. And that's the thing about, I'll say that about the action in Top Gun, ages well. We know how insane Tom Cruise is, so I would not be surprised.
Yeah, and that comes out June 26th of next year, so next year is looking to be a pretty big rundown. So I don't know, man. I mean, I'm probably going to go see it. I mean, there are certain, you know, Tom Cruise movies, that you're like, all right, I'm on board. So, and this seems to be one of them, to be completely honest. I know everything we just said, but look at those Mission Impossible movies. Those aren't the same without him.
They don't work.
You know? So, yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. So, one that kind of took me by surprise when the announcements, and they showed a trailer for it, and you mentioned it, which I'd forgotten, the Picard trailer for that CBS All Access show. Now, I'm not the biggest Star Trek fan, so okay, I know who it is. I've seen the movies, but I didn't watch any of the shows. So there's that. But I don't know, man. This looked to be a lot different than I expected.
Yeah, it looked like it's a lot of talent behind it, first of all, and it had to be to get Patrick Stewart to do it. He said, you know, I'm not going to do it if I don't think it's good. And I'm a big Star Trek fan, like, okay, between the two of us. Like, it's always been like, you've been a bigger Star Wars fan than I've been, and I've been a bigger Star Trek fan than you have.
Yeah.
And I remember reading about it. People were like, kind of apprehensive, because, like, you want to see it, but you know how, like, you want to see your heroes look old.
Right.
And you want to be a cash grab and stuff like that. You weren't sure how it's going to be. And then you see the trailer, and it's kind of like, you know, he's retired. I guess something happened with Starfleet. He's just, you know, trying, you know, this whole, I miss space. I'm trying to, you know, grow old gracefully, and then just get wrapped up in this whole scrappy adventure without the whole Starfleet, I always got the right weapon, the right time, the right resources. It's more like rugged. And then bringing stuff from, like, oh, like when Jeri Ryan popped up, I was like,
yes,
I had no clue she was like in that. And, you know, like, it's like bringing stuff that you remember and updating it. And, you know, of course, he's in there, do the whole engage things. Like, if you're a fan of Star Trek, you remember that. And then at the end, you see Brent Spiner there. And I was really surprised, because I remember he was saying, like, he said himself, like, he aged out of doing that. He was too old to kind of play that role effectively anymore. Because, like, the whole thing was robots don't age.
Yeah. Well, I you know what? I missed the Brent Spiner part. I must have shut the preview off. Oh, well. But, apparently, the entire old cast is going to be in this show in some form. So, okay, that's kind of strange. I mean, well, what is it, Jonathan Frakes? Is that his name?
He said he's going. Yeah, him. He said he's going to be in there for a few episodes. He's going to direct a few. Yeah. Marina Sirtis is going to be in. Yeah. You've heard rumors about other people popping in. It's like, it's funny where Star Trek Next Generation has this whole. It's a funny history where when it first came out, people didn't really think it was Star Trek because, like, this ain't my daddy Star Trek. Who's this bald guy sipping tea? And the first couple seasons were, like, rough, like, real rough. And then it kind of aged. It got its footing. And then it became this juggernaut. It started doing its own moves. It became this thing. And then it was, like, it's a whole generation, like, this is their Star Trek. Then Deep Space Nine came out, and then it started looking stodgy again. It's like, Star Trek Next Generation has always been this funny thing where it's always been judged by other shows. And when it reaches a certain level, and then another show come out, it's like, oh, maybe it's not as good as I thought it was. And then it's like, it's been a while since, they haven't done a movie since, what, Nemesis with Tom Hardy. It's still hilarious to think Tom Hardy was in that movie as the villain.
Yep.
So, and you hadn't really thought about it, but you've seen Patrick Stewart, like, still doing stuff. You know, it's a whole generation of people, oh, I know Patrick Stewart, Professor Xavier.
Yes.
You don't even think about the whole, yeah, he was in Star Trek. So, seeing him now, basically, his quintessential role doing it again, which, I'll say this about the CBS All Access shows, like, they don't look cheap. I don't know what the budget is, but those shows, like, I start watching Discovery, and the first thing I notice is, wow, the Next Generation would kill to have this type of budget.
Is that the new one with the, I don't know her real name. I know her name is Sasha.
I think Sonequa Martin Green.
Okay, Mm-hmm. That's actually two seasons, right?
It just finished the second season. It's about to go into its third season. And yeah, let's watch, I'm like, plot-wise, aside, I'm like, this is a gorgeous-ass show. Like, they did not, and I'm watching this Picard show, I'm like, whatever they did not cheap out making this. And you can always say that about Star Trek shows. It's like, even, like, they weren't cheap, but they all had budgets. And you can tell where it's like, you know, you hit this whole limit of how much you could spend. And whatever the limit is, it seems like it's a lot better now than it used to be.
Who owns CBS? Is it Viacom? Because I'm wondering. You both know. Like, who's it? Time Warner owns. No. Time Warner doesn't own Warner Brothers anymore, do they? Who the hell owns? Who owns Warner Brothers? Jesus. Anyway.
Yeah, let's look.
But I mean, it's like. Here you go.
This is stuff we should have did our research.
Whatever. It's because we go into tangents. We don't plan for this. But no, it's like, you know. Disney owns Lucasfilm, Pixar, and Marvel. And then you've got Warner Brothers owns DC, but then they also own...
So CBS is control... CBS is under the same umbrella as Viacom is. They're both controlled by the same dude, so...
Jesus. So there's a lot of money there.
Yeah, Sumner Redstone.
Yeah, and they're
still... Just he's like an old white villain. I just pulled this picture up, and I'm like, yes, he looks rich.
Of course they are. But no, like all these companies now, it's like it's AT&T, that's it. You know, they're apparently the DC Universe app is staying the same. It's not going anywhere. So anyone that was worried about it, I guess, don't worry about it anymore. Now, just because the app's not going anywhere doesn't mean the quality is going to get better.
Well, they said they were going to have, because they talked about how Season 2 of Doom Patrol is going to be on both.
Oh. All right, I did not see that. That's weird.
Because by the time it's ready, the HBO stuff will be ready. Oh, Titans is just going to be on DC because the other one's not ready yet.
All right. And no more Swamp Thing, which stinks because I was actually enjoying that show.
Yeah, so, but no, it's kind of like this whole, I just think about, it becomes an arms race where it's like everyone's trying to, like, you know, basically, it's basically Netflix, Disney, and then everybody else.
Yeah.
And everyone's trying to, like, get in where they fit in, and it's kind of like Netflix has an advantage because they were there first so they had that footprint. Disney had this advantage because they just Disney. They own a lot of things that a lot of people, they own a lot of things a lot of people like. It's like, yeah, Apple's super rich, but it's like, you don't think of, and when you think of Apple, you think of hardware. You don't think of like entertainment. So it's going to be an uphill battle. Everybody else is like, oh, Amazon, they have some stuff, but it's nothing that really stands out. I mean, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Like Lord of the Rings, they want to drop $1 billion because it's like they got $1 billion to drop. But it's like everyone's playing catch up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, well, Amazon's got The Boys, and I was pretty hyped up on that. And then I saw who was in charge of it and just went, oh well. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, but I'm still going to give it a chance. They already said they want, you know, already renewed for a second season. It's funny how the first season only even dropped. It's like, oh, we have so much faith in it that we're going to go with a second one. And, yeah, we have time because it comes out on Friday.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. It's goddamn. So that comes out Friday, and so does Hard Knocks. Or not. What the hell is that called? A Season With? Yeah, A Season With, mm-hmm. I believe.
Okay. So we got appetizers out. Let's get to the main stuff.
All right. Well, we're going to end with Marvel, everybody. So if you want to fast forward, go ahead. But DC did not have a huge presence. And you were very astutely said, would you? With the way Marvel just blew up everybody. Like, yeah, now I'm with you. So DC did have a presence, not a huge one, and it was a lot of the TV.
It was mostly TV.
Yeah, and some comics, but the big thing coming out of it is they are not skimping on Crisis at all. I mean, that the casting for this just keeps getting crazier and crazier. I don't know if you knew it or not, but Burt Ward is going to be.
Yes, I saw that. Mm-hmm.
And it's like
the original Robin.
Yeah, and it's like, man, well, not the original, but the
TV. I mean, as far as we know, yes. You know, yes. So that's why I said, Mr. Pendantic.
It slipped.
You couldn't help yourself.
You didn't see my face when I did. I was like, oh, you dick. Anyways. Adam West, unfortunately, has passed away. Fred Gorshin's passed away. I was just trying to think of, like, anybody else from the Batman series. Like, the original
that's still
Batman
alive.
Series. Yeah. How cool would that
Most of them are dead, unfortunately, because that's an old-ass show.
Yeah, and I think some of them probably don't want to be out in the spotlight anymore. I mean...
Yeah, it's not like they're going to have Eartha Kitt do anything. Is she still alive?
No, Eartha Kitt's... I think she's been long dead, actually. So, God, that's not mean. But... No, I think she's long gone. Julie Newmar, is she still alive? Man, I don't know if anyone on that show is still alive. Because even, I believe, Batgirl's passed away.
Julie Newmar. No, she's still alive. Okay. 85 years old, so she ain't going to be doing those stunts. Although it's funny, she did the voice work for Batman versus Two-Face.
Oh, cool.
And Batman, and then when they did the whole Batman 66 shows, the Return of Caped Crusaders, and that one they brought like the original cast back, they got her voice to do it again.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I remember that was a thing when they did that. It's like, you know, when Adam West was still around, they got like basically all the people that were still alive, they got them to do the voices, and people was like, this is cool, because it's like it's funny how DC TV embraces. The whole, you know, we embrace the history. We know what we do. We enjoy doing it. And the movies, like, they finally starting to do that. Like, y'all should have did that from Jump Street. Y'all always almost like you're embarrassed to be comic books.
Yes. Well, and that's, I think, obviously, that's where Marvel, you know, takes the lead. Because there's all that history of people reading it. The adults, like us. And actually, older adults who were around when all that stuff started. So they embrace that, but at the same time are changing things to make it more current, make it more modern, to get more people, frankly, to watch movies. Because the comics, it's not – the mainstream success of these movies is not translating to the comic book shelves, unfortunately. So
– it's because y'all gatekeepers want to say, oh, if you weren't there from the beginning, I don't want you to read my stuff.
Yeah. Well, another big problem with that, though, is the distribution model. I mean – comics only go through Diamond Comics, and trying to get them anywhere else is just a bitch because they all sign these exclusive deals. When you have one distributor, and they're not returnable like magazines, Man, which has long been a problem.
I'm about to buy a comic, and I'm just thinking, like, you know what? Let me just buy that digital copy. I ain't got time to have mail some paper, take up some space.
Another big problem with that is cost. And I used to argue with my buddy Rob, who owns Borderlands Comics in Greenville. I'm like, you can't charge $5 a comic.
Shoot, well, they charge. They do. They trying because I'm about to get this because you know X-Men basically rebooted and like people have been excited. I'm about to get the first issue. It's $6.
Oh, that was supposed to be 10. So that's good.
I mean, I got the money, but it's like
no. That's exactly.
Yeah. Damn.
How much is a video game? What, 60, 70 bucks, right?
A video game is like $60, but the whole thing is the video games have stayed around the same price for like 30-something years because they were $50 in the 80s.
Yeah. I think another huge problem with comics is the speculators got in there. Remember, I used to manage a comic store, and that was the big thing. People would come in, and all they'd want is this issue, like just as many as you can get because they thought it was going to be worth something. And it's like, do you dopes not understand? Like, supply and demand, that's what makes the stuff, you know, that's what make it cost more. When you got, at one time, I mean, there was the boom era, comics were selling, like, a ridiculous amount. I mean, millions of copies every month.
And yeah, I remember that.
Now, if someone sells 150,000 copies a month, everyone's rejoicing.
I mean, it's like anything else. Like, you know, how music industry changed and everything. It's kind of like you adapt or die. Music adapted. Some people didn't adapt. So.
Yeah. But yeah, and unfortunately, comics never really has. I mean, one of the big problems, and I don't, all right, sorry we're going off on a side tangent here, but I guess we could save it for another show, but real, since I already started it. One of the things about comics is, they used to be printed on paper that was garbage. And now, the technology gets involved now, and a comic book is not that it wasn't before. A comic book, in most senses, is a work of art now. With the amount of technology that goes in for the coloring, because most of it's almost all digital coloring now. And yes, someone's doing it, but you get this palette of colors. That you look at an old Fantastic Four, the art's still really good, but the coloring, you can't match what they can do today. And you have to sell more ad space, which means less story. I mean, the price goes up while, you know, the amount of content goes down. I'll save it for another show. I'm sorry. Anyways, just reliving the past. Sorry, man, reliving the past. We have to hear all these goddamn excuses. Yeah. Anyways, so DC is Crisis. Going all out with Crisis. And, I mean, Burt Ward, Linda Carter is now confirmed. Now, I know she was, she was an alien president on Supergirl. But Brandon Routh is coming back as the Kingdom Come version, apparently, of Superman, which is pretty cool. So now there are people saying, because Linda Carter's in her 60s, I believe. Well, why not? Because did you read Kingdom Come?
I know the story behind it.
Okay. So it's an older Superman and an older Wonder Woman. And, well, if you're going to use the Kingdom Come Superman, why not do something cool and have the Kingdom Come Wonder Woman? This is my idea.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she's older. It would fit. I mean, I saw her on Supergirl, and outside the Botox, everything looks just fine. She could pull it off. So
you're so mean.
That's not a lie. So, but and then John Wesley's ship will be back. So we got the Flash again, and I know he's been used as, you know, Jake Eric, been used as his dad, been used as this, but then, you know, why not work it into where the original Flash TV show Flash comes back? I mean, they're not skimping, and apparently this is just casting is still going on too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be what, eight episodes? Or am I thinking of Green? Am I thinking of Arrow?
I'm thinking of Arrow. It's going to be five, three in December and two in January.
Okay, so I'm guessing the third one is
And that says a lot because it's kind of like all the other crossovers have been like 1 week.
Yes. And and apparently it does affect the shows. I mean, it fundamentally ends Arrow. And yeah. Then apparently Flash is actually, there's two villains this year. The show will be broken up between two villains.
Good.
Finally.
They learn from like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. You know what? I have not watched the season at all. I have them all recorded.
Okay, I've watched. So. I'm actually like caught up with that. So it's funny. It's about to end. Matter of fact, I think it's like either one or two episodes left.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, I got
it. Yeah, because it's like only a few left. But it's kind of like I know you're gonna scoff at me. I want to like try to catch up on Supergirl on Netflix because I want to be caught up on all the shows. And it's just funny. It's like the biggest thing from there is like she has pants.
Wait, what?
You see her new costume? That miniskirt. It's 2020. It looks good, so it's not like, it's not like as a whole it looks crappy enough like that. It looks frumpy. So, and it always, I know it matched the costume, her having the miniskirt, and I'm not going to be, it was somebody commenting on her, you got some nice legs. It was like some politician or something. Because she had talked about saying how awkward it made her feel. But anyway, it was like,
Right, dude, do you not have the internet?
Yes. So, and Jimmy Olsen is not going to be there. Jimmy Olsen is not going to be there anymore. So I guess he left the series.
Oh, wow. All right, yeah, I mean, I stopped watching, so.
Yeah, so, those changes are there. Arrow's basically finishing up with their whole eight, and that's still gonna feel weird because it's like that's the one that started it. Cisco's not leaving.
Okay, goddamn, there's like three different things to go off of. That, and apparently neither is Caitlin, because she shows up. She was in the preview as well, and they had like cast photos, and she's all over it. So
yeah, they say like Cisco's going more toward like season one. I'm not doing so much superhero stuff. I'm doing the tech stuff. Which kind of fit. They're going to use Ralph more. I think it'd be better if
they... character.
Yeah, if they, streamlined it. The shows work best when they're streamlined.
Yes.
So, have everyone do their roles and get time to breathe. So, curious to see how that goes with, how Crisis works with that and having the two villains.
I'm wondering with Flash if Crisis causes there to, the story... Well, because if the story to stop, but then also real quick, the villain that they do have, I stopped watching Heroes when they had the writer's strike, like that third season, that second season was so bad. But the good guy Doctor from Heroes is going to be the bad guy in Flash.
Yeah.
So when he was talking, I'm like, why does that guy sound familiar? And all of a sudden I went, and then he turns around, I was like, oh, really? All right. So. Anyways, that's all. I don't remember his name, so I can't really say it. But
good. That way you won't butcher it, like you always say with Grant Austin.
Wait. What's his name?
His name's Dustin. You always call him Austin.
It's what?
The Flash's real name.
Yeah.
Is Grant Gustin.
Oh yeah, that's true.
It's called Grant Austin.
I thought you were screwing with me. I thought I used to say Gustin, and then you made fun of me, so I switched it to Austin. But okay,
you always say Austin. So I know with Arrow, Tommy Merlin's will come back for a few episodes. Yeah. Maury Queen's will come back for a few episodes. So it's like whoever's back is back. I wonder if they'll I wonder if it's actually Deathstroke. Or you just see some dude running around with a Deathstroke mask.
Yeah, well, they made a point of showing Manu Bennett. So
good, and it's kind of like you're gonna go out with a bang, and do things, do it your way, and then
okay. Now,
and one more thing, because someone asked them about Black Lightning, and it's like because their whole thing is like y'all been separate from everybody else. Is there a chance that it's like you could show up? It's like it's been talks.
No.
I mean, eventually, it just seemed weird. Because, I know why they're separate from anything, but the optics of the Black show is separate from everybody else kind of like, I mean, yes. I get why it's separated, and we made jokes of saying how the tone's just different.
Yes.
But they're doing more superhero stuff, especially this past season. Like, they're doing enough superhero stuff where it's like, it you can do it now.
As long as, and this is obvious in my opinion, as long as it doesn't sacrifice the quality. Because Black Lightning is the best one of these shows. Because it's written by adults. And I don't know, man. That's my whole thing. I just don't want the quality of that show to suffer so they can hamstring a bunch of stuff.
Maybe Black Lightning being good will elevate other stuff.
That's true. I mean, yeah, that's fair too.
Because so, talked about how Daredevil's fight scenes elevated other shows' fight scenes. They made like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Arrow kind of step their game up. It's like, oh, we gotta keep up with the Joneses. So it's a thing where you don't know this. Like, when a show is real good, it has a habit of making other stuff look bad, and like the smart ones kind of elevate their stuff to match it. And we see it with movies, see it like shows. So we'll see. I mean, it's kind of like they got a lot of the fact that we got to this point.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're going to do, like, we're doing this whole big, like, the show started, he was killing drug dealers.
Yeah.
And he was called the Hood. He didn't even have the mask yet. He had, like, mascara on his eyes, just killing people. Like, he was, like, you know, Batman that actually killed people. And now they're talking about having two Supermen. And one of the Supermen was the one in the movie. It's like, they know their audience. It's like, they know, you know, we do have something, like, something small is like having the farm from Smallville with the music in the background for like 4 seconds.
I'm sorry, there's going to be three Supermen in this. Well, sort of. Tom Welling's going to be in it.
I've heard that. I want to hear from a more credible website before I go with that.
Yeah.
Because I know I was never a Smallville fan.
Nah, that was
so obvious that, but I know like a lot of people love Smallville, and I remember the big thing was, wasn't it like they asked him to put the cape on at least at the end, and he still wouldn't do it?
Yeah, they never showed the cape and the cape and boots in the last episode. He like, and that was it, and it cut right then. You never actually saw him. So and then
so they can, you know, whatever. If he's there, he's there. If he's not, he's not. I won't lose any sleep. But
Dean Cain available? Dean Cain and Helen Slater, they still available?
I mean, they showed up on Supergirl.
No, that's what I'm asking. Are they still alive on that show?
Yeah, they still. It don't matter.
Never mind.
He's playing a different role, so who cares? So, you know, how many roles Tom Cavanaugh has played?
Yeah, true. But it's also, it'd be funny though, because if this is one of those things where like the fan in me goes just crazy, because I'm like, my God, they could bring Supergirl, but then wait a minute, could Brendan Routh be the Donner film Superman again? Because those did take place in the same universe. The Supergirl movie and the Superman movie. Because she mentions, if you've never seen the original Supergirl, I don't suggest it, but she has a picture of her, which is kind of weird in hindsight, she has a picture of her cousin on her wall.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, it's Cousin Clark. And that's it. But they do exist in the same universe. Anyways.
Yes, yeah, so.
All right.
We will see.
Yeah, we got to get to the main event.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I thought we wanted to talk about the important stuff. Like, yeah, let's talk about the, you know, the demise of the comic industry because of ink cost.
Yeah, sorry. I'm also a big DC guy. So the Crisis thing, man, I almost wish it was just the whole season, but we'll talk about it later. Anyways, we'll talk about it later. So, Marvel shows up and disappoints everybody by not announcing another Avengers, Fantastic Four, Guardians of the Galaxy, nothing. Instead, we get
actually lied because they actually talked about Fantastic Four.
Oh, they did? I didn't see that.
Yeah, they just said, you know, no, they just didn't have like announced dates, but they brought up like, you know, it's some stuff we didn't even get a chance to get to, like, you know, Captain Marvel 2 and Black Panther 2 Fantastic Four. And, you know, I know you guys care about mutants. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. No. I missed all that. Yes. So, all right. Well, they also have that Disney thing coming up August 23rd. So, you know, you could have some of it there. So we'll see, obviously. But all kidding aside, we did get Phase 4 news, and the Phase 4 news is pretty sweet. So we're getting the Black Widow movie, which has already been in production, so it wasn't much of a surprise. Apparently, Eternals is already filming, which I did not know. So they're both filming right now in whatever soundstage in California. So that's already been going on. And what else are we getting? Shang-Chi, the one I'm most looking forward to. Another Thor movie, which is insane. And
Doctor Strange.
Yes, thank you. I knew I was forgetting somebody.
No, you got to say the name if you're gonna say it. Doctor Strange in the Madness of the Multiverse.
Yeah.
If that ain't a comic book name, I don't know what it is.
And it also stars Scarlet Witch will be in it, mm-hmm. but we forgot the. Actually, it looks like it's kind of gotten looked over anyways. But Blade's coming back. That was the shocker one.
You got to do it the right way. You just can't say, oh, the shocker of Blade's coming back. No. It's the show's about to end because we announced all this other stuff. And there's like, oh, one more thing. Let me bring out my friend, Mahershala Ali. And people are like, that's odd. You know, I mean, Cottonmouth died. Why is he up here? You know, like, what's going on? And everyone else had, like, you know, black, you know, they had their Marvel hats on, Black Widow hats on. And then he puts on a hat, and it's a Blade hat. And people in the stands could see it, but, you know, if you watch it, you couldn't see it. And then you see the screen turn black, you see the Blade font, and it's like, yeah. Two-time Oscar winner Mahershala Ali called Kevin Feige, is like, I want to be Blade. And Kevin Feige was like, you know what? I was hoping you wanted to be Blade because I was thinking you'd be a great Blade. Sign up.
What a weird world we live in, dude. Because she won a Golden Globe. Has Angelina Jolie won an Academy Award?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Salma Hayek has been nominated for one.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. Let's try to run down everything here. Robert Downey Jr. has been nominated.
Brie Larson has won one.
Oh, yes.
You know, Anthony Hopkins, RIP Marvel, he has won one. Robert Redford, has he won or been nominated?
I'm sure he's won.
You know, like...
Yeah, he Glenn won for Close, something. He didn't show up to get the award.
Yeah. Glenn Close has been nominated for one.
John C. Reilly was?
Like, it's like, you know, but it's just funny where it's like, these are like, it's different when you have like supporting actors and actresses that's doing it, and it's like, yes.
Now you're stars.
Yeah, like Brie Larson got one, Mahershala Ali got two in 3 years.
Yeah.
And you had him on like, you know, on a TV show, and he's like, yeah. And I know your first thing is like, you know, it's a shame Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, yeah, but Wesley Snipes old.
I know. You know, it's,
I mean,
it's always the fan that reacts first, especially for me. And I'm like, damn it. But then I saw what it was, and I was like, what? Yeah. Why?
And you can always have him show up. And like, if he has a role, you know, because he'll do it, cut the check. So yeah. But I'm like, yes. Yeah, so it's like, I couldn't think of anybody, if it's not going to be Wesley Snipes, who's 56, and by the time this movie come out, he might be 60, because who knows when the movie will come out, what, 3 years from now, 4 years from now?
Yeah,
so,
I don't think they gave a date for that one. So
yeah, and I'm sure it's like, I'm sure it'll be fast track because the reaction they got, because I remember, out of all the things they got mentioned, that one got like the biggest response online. It's like, oh, because we've talked about how important Blade is. People tend to forget that, like, Blade kind of set this whole Marvel comic thing off, and especially black community is like, yeah, we love Blade, we remember Blade, we still remember Blade, you know what Mahershala Ali does, and now you got him being Blade. It's like, yeah, sign me up. I don't need to read no script. I don't care who directing. I'm going to be there opening night. That's all I need to know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It helps that there's a built-in history with the character anyways. Now, I know it can also be a detriment because it's not Wesley Snipes, but I don't think any of this applies anymore. And, yeah, to be completely honest, I don't think any, like, the old Blade movies matter anymore because, you know, it's...
I will say it's... One, it's a double-edged sword. the fact that it's people know about Blade, so it's not like this whole new character you got to sell. It's like it has history, so you're excited about it. But I was in, like, Mahershala Ali is a very accomplished actor. I'll say this, though. The reason why it's hard to fill the shoes is, like, Wesley Snipes is a classically trained dramatic actor that's also, like, a black belt. You normally is one or the other. You normally don't have both. And it's and that helps where it's like, you know, I can act and do all my own stunts. I don't need like a stunt man doing my fight scenes. I can do my fight scenes, so you can shoot me a certain way. And I will say, Mahershala Ali better go get his mall karate up.
Yeah. Well, so, yes. Well, Blade wasn't always the biggest guy, but Wesley Snipes, you know, in shape.
It's not about, yeah, it's so. Not about the whole shape thing, like, because yeah. He's in shape. It's like, you got to know how to fight. Like, you don't want to have Iron Fist Season 1 issue where you're supposed to be this fighter that can't fight, because it's like, especially now, that don't play no more.
No. No, and that was kind of like the second season of Iron Fist actually was a little bit better because of that, because actually, you know, apparently they must have choreographed some fight scenes, you know, a month or so ahead of time instead of an hour or so ahead of time. But I don't want to jump into that yet, but yeah, it's going to be pretty sweet, man. And a lot of people have been asking, like, where the hell's Blade at again? Well, now we got our answer. So now it's like, all right, everyone be patient, because it's going to take a while. I mean, that's the only person that was announced for the cast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I wonder if they're going to do, what's his name, Whistler?
Mm-hmm. Some I said, why don't you just have, you know, Wesley Snipes play Whistler?
Would you want to separate that, though? Because you want to get people, but you want to get people behind the new guy instead of being reminded of the guy that you loved to begin with.
Wait, are you wondering if Disney going to try to skate nostalgia? What movie is out now? What are we talking about?
Wait, what movie's out now?
The Lion King. I know, like Marvel. Like, who's Marvel owned by? Like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I get the whole sentiment, but it's like, it's a Brit, it works the best. Because it's like, Mahershala Ali's not going to get overshadowed. It's not like he's some no-name dude or like some regular dude. It's like, people may not know how to pronounce his name, but people know who he is.
Yeah, well,
he was on, like, he's a guy that's been in movies that people seen as won awards, and he was just in True Detective in a good season.
Which I have all those, and I've not yet watched.
Yeah, a good bounce back season. Yeah, it was. Even though it was like confusing as can be, it was very good. And somebody made a joke. It was, who was it? The guy that played Cyborg is like, I think he was in the show. He's like, I think he was playing Mahershala Ali. So I'm like, my dad is Blade. And his best friend was Deacon, and his partner was Deacon Frost, because Stephen Dorff's in it too, was in the season of True Detective.
Oh, okay.
And they were partners, so it's kind of like, yeah, that's the world we live in. But no, I'm definitely looking forward to Blade. I wonder who they get to direct. People have already been like asking if Guillermo can do it again. Disney has a way of like, I have no clue, because they just like, they're at the point, as we get to talk about the other stuff, it's like, we can do what we want.
Yeah, because they're giving Shang-Chi to somebody I've never heard of before.
They're giving most of the stuff to people haven't heard of before. Like, who heard of John Watts before he did the two Spider-Man movies?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, like, I saw a cop car. It was cool. Nothing had me thinking, like, oh, this dude will do a Spider-Man movie. Like, the next one going, the current one's going to probably hit $1 billion. So, yeah, but it's like, that's what they do. The whole thing, I think Guardians of the Galaxy being successful showed them that, you know what, we can take chances, you know. And the Eternals is definitely a chance, because it's like, yes. I know absolutely nothing about them, and I'm looking at the cast, and the cast is insane. Yes. Salma Hayek is the leader of a, you know, a hero team that has Angelina Jolie and and Rob Stark.
Oh, Rob, the guy who plays Rob.
Richard Madden is in this, yes. Kumail Nanjiani is in this. The dude from Atlanta, Brian Tyree Henry, that's in everything. He's in this. Like, they have a deaf woman in this. Marvel's like, this whole, y'all want diversity, we're going to have everything. And it's like, and it's just amazing. Like, oh, yeah, Angelina Jolie's in a Marvel movie. No big deal. That's still weird to say that.
Yeah. Do you know anything about the Celestials? or the Eternals or any of this stuff?
I know Jack Kirby did it. That's okay. It's basically like based on like Greek heroes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, I don't.
It's almost kind of like, you know, how Thor is like based off of like Norse mythology. This one's kind of based off quote unquote Greek mythology. It's like, you know, immortal people trying to learn to be human. And I mean, I'm curious to see how they're going to sell this. It's kind of like, I don't doubt Marvel. It's just weird.
It's a rough sell. No, I mean,
but on the other hand, it's like, you know, people trust Marvel, and Angelina Jolie is a movie star. I mean, she is, like, yeah. So, and just the fact that, I'm not even surprised, like, she's done action movies, she does plenty of that, she does Disney stuff, the Maleficent sequel's coming out in October, and I'm definitely going to see that, because I will not lie, say I saw the first one, I enjoyed the first one, I had no idea I would enjoy the first one, so I've always been a sucker for Angelina Jolie movies, like her action stuff, not her dramas, that's whatever, but the action stuff I always seen, but no, like this, Gia. That's a depressing ass movie.
Yeah, I remember what it was about. Yeah, anyway,
so, but no, like that's coming out. The Shang-Chi. Ten Rings.
I know. Just talk about this one.
Yes, of course. Go ahead.
This is the one I'm really excited for. A big ass Marvel movie. I mean, a big ass Marvel Kung Fu movie. Oh my god. The only thing, and it's not going to happen, so I'm not actually really worried about it. First thing I thought of was Iron Fist. And I went, nah, that ain't going to happen. Got that quickly out of my system. And then I also just started thinking, I mean, dude, we just watched Warrior Wolf. And I know it's like back by... Yeah, sorry, I knew that was wrong when I said it. But we just watched Wolf Warrior. And one, okay, two, what? That movie was insane. And that's just... You know, I know the Chinese government backed it, so it had money, but they,
that budget wasn't that big.
Yeah, so imagine doing that with someone competent doing this stuff, and now we're getting a Mandarin, or Mandarin. I'm not sure how you say that.
Wait, what you? Whoa!
I've always.
What did you call, what did you call him?
I've always added extra syllables to that word.
The Mandarin.
Yep.
The Mandarin.
Yeah, I know. So,
and not only the Mandarin played by Tony Leung, a Hong Kong Chinese legend.
Yeah. Well, apparently, I was reading some articles that are coming out now that some Chinese are not happy they're making this movie.
No.
And it's like, well, I get it, but it's like, guys, give us a chance.
I mean, you know? I would just say, like, the character, the Mandarin, is stereotypical, to put it mildly.
Yeah, the way he looked. But it's like, you know, he's not going to look like that. So, yeah, it's like, you know what? The history sure is. But now it's time to change that history. And they're obviously going to create something totally new. So, I get it, but now...
I was trying to find the equivalent of, like, him in America, and I would guess it would be like Denzel, like drama and action. Like he's a big ass deal, and that's why it's kind of like, I know people like they were more excited about the cast in the Mandarin than the fact that the movie existed. I saw the guy they got for Shang-Chi. He does this. He works out. He said he did. Matter of fact, he said he did his like casting test on Tuesday. Found out he got the job on like a Thursday or Friday and flew in there on Saturday.
The one thing that kills me is like it was Marvel basically was just they tried getting the rights to Kung Fu, you know, the old mm-hmm. David Carradine show, but it was owned by somebody and Warner's DC shut it down and were like, no, you're not getting it. So they just created this guy based on something else. I just love the fact that he looks just like Bruce Lee. Like if you see any of the old covers, any of this stuff, he is a direct ripoff of Bruce Lee. Not ripoff, but likeness of Bruce Lee. And I'm like, yeah. And that's why it was so goddamn popular back then. I mean, Marvel capitalized on Kung Fu movies, Kung Fu stuff all the time, or during that time. The original one ran for 100 issues. Can you tell me anything that you know about this guy?
No.
Exactly.
I heard about it. I've never read an episode. I've never read an issue, but I heard of it, and I was like, "Oh, that's different."
Yeah. So now he's, I guess now they've been in the more modern time. He's been, he's trained Spider-Man to help fight. He trained, I don't know if "trained" the right word, but he's helped him fight Domino, I guess, most recently in one of the X-Men books. I guess she has her own title, so I don't know. But and that's what he's just been kind of used for. Before, he was like kind of, he was a spy. He's part of MI6. Is that the right one? Mm-hmm. So, because I guess the origin is that his dad tells him to go and kill these evil people, and his dad's actually just telling him to get rid of his enemies, because his dad's apparently super evil. I'm like, okay, so you already got like kind of a Greek tragedy going there, where your dad's the most evil person in the world. So, I don't know, man. I'm just looking forward to a ridiculous budget kung fu movie. Because, you know, I'm guessing it'll have a big budget, so maybe I should.
Of course, it doesn't have to be a huge budget, but Marvel don't do cheap. Even like for them, like a small budget at this point is like $140-150 million.
Yeah.
So like, that's still a lot of damn money, and they're not gonna go cheap because it's like, you know, it's gonna be their first big time Asian movie.
Yeah.
And they want to represent and definitely get Asian money. The whole thing is like, it's two things I'll say before we move on. One, I remember when we talked about Ocean's 8 and Awkwafina was in it. You was like, that name seemed weird. The actor seemed weirder. And this was like years ago. And you was like, had your jokes. And then you talk about, we talk about, you know, does she have a sister named Dasani? Ha ha ha.
Her Uncle Poland Springs.
Yeah. And I'm like, look at her now.
I mean, good for her, but honestly, I couldn't pick her out of a lineup.
You will.
Maybe. I don't know.
Trust me. So. People who do Marvel movies don't become anonymous anymore. So, you may not know, because you didn't see Pretty Rich Asians. She's got this another movie coming out. By the time they start doing...
Wait, don't you mean Filthy Rich Asians?
Oh, Crazy Rich Asians.
That's it. Hey, between the two of us, we got something.
Because I think this sequel might be Filthy Rich. So who knows? Oh. But no, it's like the first time they have a trailer there, you see her face in a big ass poster. It's like, oh, she's gonna be famous. Her life changes. And two, we can finally kill this whole thing about Asian men can't be sexy. I've always laughed at that because I'm like,
yeah, that sounds pretty stupid.
All those K-pop, like, did I tell you when I went to Houston one time? And it was like some K-pop group was there. And
No, you didn't. Yeah. Sorry.
And because we went to Houston like vacation for like a weekend. And it was like this Toyota Center. We had this concert. We saw all these young Asian women. And they was like, it's a lot. I mean, like Houston, diverse, like it's a lot of them. Yeah. I wonder what's going on. It was some group that had a concert. So the day of the concert, the line was like three blocks long. These women, and they was up there like, I'm ready to, you know, lose. If whoever on stage asks for whatever they want from me, I'm ready to give them what they want. But the vibe is coming from, like, anyone who knows anything about like pop music will tell you, like, yes, those Asian men slay. And all you gotta do is see the guy they cast. Let me get his name. Simu Liu, Chinese Canadian actor. He definitely looks fit. The first time he pops up, I'm just saying right now, that whole we can't get Asian men because Asian men ain't sexy stuff, that's going all out the way. Black people got Black Panther, women got Captain Marvel, Asians are always like, what about us? And they about to, it's going to be on deck.
I don't understand. Who said the Asian man couldn't be sexy? I'm confused.
Hollywood, for the most part. That's because they always had Asian men as either being the evil villain, or the tech guy, yeah, or like the feckless nerd, no, the comic relief. They always, it's been more like Dr. Ken's than Bruce Lee.
Yeah, I guess it just goes to the difference in movies. Cause,
I mean,
you know, no. I mean, like the movies I watch compared to, you watch a Hong Kong movie. Don't tell me that Chow Yun Fat and like the Killers and all that shit. Don't tell me that guy wasn't fucking sexy, dude.
Yeah. But so, what happened when they brought him to America? He was like, oh, he was the nice guy.
Yeah.
Or he was like, no, I'm cool and serene.
Yeah.
It's like, no, in Asia, they're getting all the ass.
Yeah.
They come here, Yeah, they come here and it's like, I remember watching, before we go to the next movie, Rush Hour 2. And I was like, yeah, Jackie Chan was like, yeah, he could pull Rosalind Sanchez. Because
yeah.
He was throwing it at him. He wasn't all bumbling or nothing. He was all cool. And he was already like old then. But it's like, and that's Jackie Chan, goofball Jackie Chan. But he was Mr. Smooth with his suit on. I'm like, don't tell me. Because the same thing happened, Romeo Must Die. Talking about, we want to have Jet Li kiss Aaliyah, but the age gap was too weird. I'm like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
So, tell me, I seen Sean Connery in a trap with Catherine Zeta-Jones, and I know Catherine Zeta-Jones married to Michael Douglas in real life, and he's like double her age. But you can tell me whatever you want, Hollywood.
Man, real quick, it kind of goes with like wrestling too, but can you imagine all the money that Hollywood's actually not made because of their decisions like that? Because, I don't know, I guess the digital age and travel has made it very easy to make your stuff internationally known now. I mean, there is something to be said for that. But at the same time, why would you handcuff yourself? And, I mean, without, like...
mediocrity and racism.
Yeah.
And sexism, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole... We just get in movies with women stars now. It's like, oh, well, women don't want to see movies. I'm like, what? Like, how many, we've talked, I don't even want to get to it, but like, how many times you have to have these movies come out and they make money before it's like, maybe it's something there. With comic movies, you would think by now, between Black Panther, Wonder Woman, and Captain Marvel, it's like, oh, people want to see people who look like them, and white people want to see that too, so bring them out there, they make money. You thought they would learn that from the Fast and Furious for like a decade, but apparently there's like, oh, I'm not sure about that. And Marvel now is like, you know what? Let's get everybody's money.
Yeah.
That whole thing is like, you know what? We're going to get something for everybody, because not only you have the Eternals and Shang-Chi, you know they were doing Thor 4. You didn't know what it was going to be about. And you see the name Thor, Love and Thunder. Yeah. And it's like, okay, Chris Hemsworth's back. Tessa Thompson's back. Natalie Portman back. Natalie Portman is going to be Thor, just like Jane Foster was in the comics. Who saw that coming?
Yeah, and, well, one, just her coming back, because that wasn't even, that wasn't really her in the Avengers. That was outtake stuff from whatever, Dark World or something
Dark
like that.
Dark World, yeah.
So she didn't even come back for that. And I was like, God damn, that, she's holding a grudge. And or she just hated her experience that much, so she was like, nah, I don't need to be in the biggest movie of all time. Don't worry about it. Okay. I mean, that's your choice. Good for you. But so to all of a sudden announce that, yeah, she's back, and she's going to be playing Lady Thor. And you're like, what? Okay. I mean, it's, my first reaction, honestly, was, we sure about this? Because Natalie Portman's 5 foot tall. And doesn't really scream heroic at all, but it's also not coming out for 2 years, so there's a lot of stuff they can do in the meantime, I guess.
Are we still worried about this?
And no, but that's what I'm saying. That was my initial reaction, and then went, well, it'll work. So
yeah, I was like, one, Natalie Portman was mad with good reason. Like, one, she's basically this arm candy, barely have to do anything. Two, Patty Jenkins was supposed to do The Dark World. That's the only reason why she came back to sign, you know, why she was going to do the second one. Then they reneged. She drops out, and she still got to do the movie, so she's like, all right, I'll do this one. I'm out. Like, I signed, this ain't what I signed up for. And it's like, and it's funny, like, Idris Elba had the same attitude. It's like, I'm, don't need this. And you got me up here looking stupid. I got these eye contacts in, I can barely see, and I don't want to cut myself with this big ass sword. I'm not having fun. Like, what is going on? And Taika Waititi came, and all of a sudden Idris Elba's having fun. He's doing something. And apparently Natalie Portman's a fan of his too. And Kevin Feige's like, you know, we've been keeping contact with her. We've been talking for a few years. We want to keep under wraps. When they were doing Thor Ragnarok, He discovered the Woman Thor comics. Like, oh, this seemed like something I want to do. Made some calls. Natalie Portman's there. And one of it was Tessa Thompson's whole thing. Like, oh, you know, Asgard king, need a queen. So this whole, we don't got to worry about, you know, gay, lesbian, queer thing. We don't got to hide it under the rug anymore. I can't wait to see how many people pissed off when they like, you got this gay stuff in my comic movie. What's going on? Because that's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. And people are already saying, you know, is she going to be with Jane or is she going to be with Captain Marvel?
Valkyrie. No. I understand.
Yes.
See, this is where I just come from a different perspective. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. And I know we talked about it before and argued about it before. I don't really care. And it's like, all right, so why is no one asking the real question that needs to be asked? Is her fucking horse going to be in it? That's the only legit thing. That was awesome.
I'm sure the horse will show up.
I don't care who she makes out with. Give me Pegasus again.
You know why? And you know why I told you it's a big deal? Because if you're from that background, you never saw that in a big screen movie.
Oh yeah, no. That yes, I understand that part. I mean the other people getting pissed off part. Like, just shut up, dorks. Although I'm the one that's like, legit asking. Like, they are gonna have her with the flying horse again because that's cool. So
and it's like, you know, that's just the whole thing that one. It's funny, Thor Ragnarok was like, people either loved it or hated it. It was not a middle ground with that movie. Like, I loved it. But I know a lot of people said, like, it was just too much comedy, and I definitely get... And my whole thing was, I think it was part of it where they did three straight movies with a lot of comedy, because it was basically Guardians, that, and Spider-Man. So it was, like, jokes on jokes on jokes, so yeah. It kind of... And that's fine. But for me, I definitely loved it, and it's like, Thor's goofy. Like, the character... I'm sorry, the character's goofy. Everything about, you know... An alien that pretends to be a Norse god, and he ride around. Like you say, he don't even fly. He throw the hammer. It's flying. He's just holding on. Yeah. Like, they don't break it out. So you throw out the hammer, and the hammer guides you. Like, when you break down how Thor's powers work, when he getting mad, like, I broke my hammer. And he's like, are you the god of hammers? I thought you the god of thunder. Like, what are you doing? It's like, yeah, Thor is goofy. Chris Hemsworth is like, he's this guy that looks like, you know, a statue, like a Greek statue, that's funny. That always works. Him leaning his sense of humor was the best thing that happened to Thor. I'm sure Natalie Portman, with a director that she likes, that actually gets to do something, like, any woman can hit across. We had this conversation with Gal Gadot, with her being Wonder Woman. She all bony, what's she going to do? Like, there's not gym memberships involved. Worst come to worst, steroids are a thing.
Yeah, well, she better be taking them. So, I'm kidding.
You're not kidding.
No. That's why I said my initial reaction was like, "Are we sure about this?" And then I just went, "That'll be fine." So, it's become to the point now, and maybe this is a bad thing, but the question that, like, they've got a smart guy in charge, a guy that's got his pulse on the audience, and I don't want to say culture. All right. But
no, you say it.
He seemingly has some of his shit together, because he's giving people something that, no, you wouldn't think of seeing. I mean, just flat out. Because I remember when, you probably remember too. Remember when North Star came out in Alpha Flight?
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge deal, because that was apparently the first gay superhero, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was done in such a weirdly melodramatic way. Like, a big splash page of him yelling, "I'm gay." And
that's so comic-y. I'm like, yeah. I would be disappointed if it wasn't so melodramatic and silly. So, yeah.
But no, it's like Mark, that I used to work with at the comic store, who was the manager before me, he was a gay guy. And so he's like, oh, you know how this is going to go. And he saw it and was just like, ugh. Like, I mean, it's progress, right? And he's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, all right. He goes, this is sales. So I was like, okay. He was like, if you looked at this guy, and I know how this is going to sound, but the visual works. He looks like me. He acted like me. But then when he didn't like something, did he get bitchy? It was the funniest thing. So, but anyways. Yeah.
So it's like, I think it's the way, like, they're going to handle correct. Because the whole thing is like, just do it. You don't have to make it a big deal. Just do it. And people, when you normalize it, people's like, oh, okay, it's fine. Get used to it. The people that's going to complain anyway. They don't buy tickets. to hell with him. It's you know, and you're gonna get a whole audience like, oh, I never saw someone like me. I might get motivated, inspired to do something. And you know why I say, you know, before we move on to the next one, you know why I say why representation matters? I tell you know why I thought I could be a doctor? Because of three reasons. One, when I said I wanted to do it, my parents never told me that I couldn't do it. And the other reason is because St. Elsewhere was a thing with Denzel on it, and The Cosby Show was a thing.
Yeah.
Well, so I saw black. I mean,
one out of two ain't bad.
I know. But why do you think so many people were mad about the stuff with Bill Cosby?
Oh, no shit.
It's like, I can't tell you how many
classmates.
He was a
hypocrite, that's why.
Not only that.
Giant thing.
But I'm just telling you from like a personal standpoint, I can't tell you how many of my friends and classmates was like, yeah, we went to med school and pharmacy school because we saw The Cosby Show. It's like, that could be me. I see a black doctor family, so I can do that. So to know, and I know it's silly thinking that, but it's like, if you didn't have positive things and you see that one, and then you come to find out not only it's fake, it's all the way fake, like, yeah, that's, I mean, you still got to throw them in the trash can, but that's like, you know, man, if Superman was a pedophile, like, I ain't running around pretending to have a cape on for a while. But anyway, it's like, stuff like that matters. So the more representation you have, the more you can get. And like how you brought like Kevin Feige saying, like, he's doing different stuff. Like the Doctor Strange movies, like, hell yeah, we're going to do a horror movie. Scott Derrickson's a horror actor. Like, I mean, a horror director, like, first and foremost. So, but the fact is, like, they would go that route. And I remember when they brought up the whole thing with the multiverse, and then it was like hinted, you know, the animated movie, and then faked in like Spider-Man, like the last one saw, like, oh, so the multiverse ain't a thing. And it was like, that's what you think. Like, I guess it's really going to be a thing. And then the whole thing, like, you know, yeah, it's going to be, you know, Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, which is even stranger, but. Yeah, we'll talk about TV next show. But
I mean, they got history in the comics, and it's funny where, boy, Elizabeth Olsen getting some work.
Yeah, and that's why I said we'll talk about the TV stuff on the next show. Because, yeah, because that's WandaVision, which is a weird name, but okay. Well, wait, before I did want to say one thing about Thor, and this is going to be the interesting part of it to me. How is Jane going to become Thor? Because in the comics, Thor got the hammer. He would slap it down. You know, remember he used to have the old identity, the guy with the cane. And then it still granted him his power. He was still a pretty strong dude and all that stuff. But he didn't have, like, all the power he does now. Well, they've kind of shown that even in, like, the Marvel movies, the hammer doesn't represent as much. It was just if he's worthy or not. Well, Jane's just a regular person. She's not the super alien guy, you know. So I'm really curious how they're gonna do that with her.
I mean, I wonder if just the whole thing is like, you know, are they gonna bring the cancer part in?
Oh,
because that was a thing. Like, you know, basically when she was you know, suffering from cancer, she becomes Thor. She's super strong, but the power would like reverse the chemotherapy, so she'd be worse off when she wasn't Thor.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of weighty if you want to do that, you know.
Yeah,
she got cancer from the aether, and then from dying, you know, they make her hammers. I'm just curious to see how they do it, because, like, you know, I wouldn't go that heavy, because you don't necessarily need to go that heavy.
Oh, no.
But it's kind of like, I'm just real curious to see it, because, you know, Natalie Portman is good in the right movies, but she's always good when she's playing, like, when it's like some darkness behind her. Like when she play a regular person, it's just boring. When she got like a little edge to her, it's like, yeah, she got like a little, this little pixie with a mean streak. And I mean, her, Tessa Thompson, Chris Hemsworth, like those are three pretty people.
Yeah.
And who's the villain?
Yeah, they haven't said yet, have they?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't said the villains for a lot of these movies, but it's like, you know, it's curious to see. That's the whole thing, like, with the cast and what we know. We only think about the stuff we don't know. Like, I'm just looking forward. It's funny, we did all this talk. We need to talk about the Black Widow movie.
I mean, we can wrap it up with that one.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's just like, that's...
But we also kind of knew that was coming anyways, too.
Yeah, but it's like, it's further along, and it's like, you know, Taskmaster's apparently in it.
And apparently they've already shown footage to people. and it apparently looks great.
Like, yeah, like they showed a fight scene with Scarlett Johansson and Florence Pugh that's playing like Yelena, what's her name? Yelena Barova? Badova? They're like the Black Widow after Natasha was Black Widow.
Okay, because one of the things I read is that they actually have footage of Taskmaster and Taskmaster. Jesus Christ. I'm messing up easy words now. That sucks, man. Anyways, about Natasha and him fighting. So, I'm guessing, when does this take place?
It says, I mean, they're talking about it's Budapest, so it's a prequel. You know, they always talk about that mission in Budapest where, and then people brought up, well, does that mean Hawkeye's in it? And it's like, well, I can't tell you, because you got to watch the movie and find out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's in it, you know, just the fact that, you know, Mr. Hellboy, Stranger Things himself, David Harbour's in it, Rachel Weisz is in it. Like, it's just amazing the casting they get for these movies. And it's just weird because it's like she's dead.
Yeah.
As of now. That may change. I just find it weird that they would just do one movie with her and that's the end of it. Because you remember the longest time people were like, why haven't y'all done a Black Widow movie? Like, Scarlett Johansson is a movie star. Y'all pay her a lot of money.
What's the hope? For an Academy Award too, I believe.
Yeah, and it's like she's been in movies by herself, has made a lot of money, so it was kind of like, and she makes bank on the Marvel movies. Like her checks tend to be bigger than Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth. Like normally it's like Robert Downey Jr. than her when it comes to like pay scale. But all the time I was like, oh, we don't know, we'll get around to it. And I guess it was like, oh, Captain Marvel make $1 billion, like, oh, I guess we can make one now after we kill the character. And it's just, yeah, I mean, it's just weird because, like, the stakes are just lower. I mean, it's not a bad thing, but it's hard watching a movie with a character that's not alive.
Right. But, yeah, because that's a pretty permanent death, too, you know? I mean, how do you come back from it?
As comics.
Yeah, but...
I mean, you can wave a magic wand. And I mean, I know it's like you don't want to take away stakes, but like you can explain things if you want to. We watch Fast and Furious. Well. And we seen how people who should have been dead came back to life. And it wasn't no Infinity Stones involved. And, you know, I don't think, and you know, who knows what's in Dominic Toretto's toolbox. But if stuff happened, then it can happen in the Marvel Universe. I'm curious to see it. You know, it's just because, one, it's something people would ask for. It seems like they, you know, like they talk about the action, seems like it's top-notch. Like a spy, you know, Marvel at the point now where they do, like, genre movies. Like, you know, we have a template on how we do stuff, but then we mix it up. And Taskmaster is a cool villain. I've always liked him.
Yeah, he's the guy with the skull mask, right?
Yeah, basically his power is he sees a move and he can copy it.
Yeah, that's pretty badass. So... Yeah. I mean, without getting into it, we're getting some of the old school Marvel villains now. Because you see, I don't remember the actor's name. He played Zemo.
Daniel Brühl. Yeah. He's wearing the mask.
So that's pretty nuts. Because everyone just kind of thought, wow, that's it for Zemo, huh? And nope.
I mean, I always thought it'd be weird. Like, he didn't die, and he was successful. And that's the thing with, you know, we don't talk too much about TV. With the shows, it's like you can talk about stuff that necessarily is not big enough for a movie, but big enough that people will watch it. It's like you have characters. Because, like, you know, what you going to do with, like, Falcon? Because it's almost like, you know, the old Avengers, like, retired. No Iron Man, no original Captain America. And you got a bunch of other characters who wouldn't open up a movie by themselves. But what you going to do with them? So that's what you do. Give them a TV show. And have it lead into the movies. Like, you know. Like the fact, like, WandaVision has, you remember the girl from Captain Marvel?
The little
her
girl?
Daughter? Yeah. She's in it. It's a grown up.
And she's in what? The
WandaVision.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Weird.
I mean, you can do stuff like that. Like, you have a Hawkeye show, you know, training Kate Bishop. You wouldn't do that as a movie, but you do that as like 5 or 6 episodes. Like, that's the thing, and it's under the same umbrella, so it's not like, you know, we can't talk about this because these guys run this and I run this. It's like everybody run, I run everything. And when Tom Hanks going to get in these movies?
There's the two. Well, he's busy playing Mr. Rogers, so.
Of course, he has to play every white man of dignity before he dies.
Man, we'll talk about that next show, the Mr. Rogers movie. Did you see that documentary on HBO?
No, because I don't want to cry. No.
Okay.
I've heard, everyone I've heard people say that, like, this is an awesome thing, and I cried at least three or four times. No thanks. I'm cool with that. Not in like a bad way, but I grew up with Mr. Rogers, and I love Mr. Rogers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just, I'm glad I wasn't the only one. I'm trying to avoid movies that make me sad. I know.
Hard. I don't know. That yeah, makes so, sense. So.
Yeah, but no, it's kind of like, it's, you know, him and Denzel, because Leonardo DiCaprio never going to do him. He got too much pride.
Yeah, I don't know. Him, Denzel, and Tom Hanks, I always forget, because Brad Pitt was in Deadpool, so.
Yeah, Brad Pitt will do it. And they keep trying to get Keanu. It's like, we're going to keep asking him until he says yes. Until he says yes. Like, that's the running joke. And I'm trying to think. If he'd be a perfect Silver Surfer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so maybe that's what he's waiting for. Because apparently that's the running joke. Is like, we ask him all the time. And he just keeps telling us no. And sooner or later, they're going to ask The Rock. Like, The Rock is going to... I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. Because I know Warner, you know, DC and Black Adam, yada, yada, yada. But I'm like, come on now.
I don't see how The Rock is Black Adam... fits with that tone of Shazam, but I mean, I guess he doesn't have to.
I mean, Mark Strong was busy throwing people out of windows in that same movie. So tone, you can make tone work if you had the right jokes. I'm just The Rock as Namor as the villain of Black Panther 2 was just writes itself because it has history in the comic books. The Rock is The Rock. And then it's kind of like, you know, if you're going to have Submariner, you're going to have those Aquaman jokes. So you might as well go the whole thing. It's like, who can I get that can outshadow, you know, that can overshadow Jason Momoa and not worry about them jokes? Oh, yeah, The Rock. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the only person I can get. But we'll see. Because apparently they've talked. So, and, you know, The Rock's never not busy. But we'll see.
Yeah. He's only got 15 more movies coming out in the next 2 years. So I'm sure he can make another one. But, all right, let's get out of here. We're going to talk about the TV shows next time. The Mr. Rogers thing for sure, because it's just weird. And then we'll figure it out from there.
And we'll talk about some movies, because I've been going to movies. Are you going to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
It's in nothing but small theaters here.
That's
and,
weird.
And they're almost all sold out. And we have company coming in this weekend, so... And I'm going to NXT on Sunday. So, you know, busy, busy for me. But I do have tickets for Hobbs and Shaw.
Where do you see that?
It is not an IMAX anywhere around here, so I'm pissed off. But the big news of that is I'm going with Mr. and Mrs. DeFrango. They will be in town, so...
Yeah, Kevin did say he was going to see that. He didn't say he was seeing it with you guys.
Yep.
Okay.
Got him last night. So I asked him, I was like, do you have a time preference? And he said, no. I'm like, all right, cool. So we're going at 11:30 in the morning on Saturday, the weekend it comes out. So I'm looking forward first to seeing Kevin, and then, two, going to see that with him. Because if you never had the joy of seeing a goofy-ass movie like that with Kevin, he does, like, he's not laughing at the movie... He laughs at the action. Like, all the stupidity of the stuff. And it just makes the movie more fun. So, definitely looking forward to that. Plus, you get to see my homie, so.
There you go. Yeah, he said he was looking forward to seeing that, so.
Because they keep showing more and more of it. That whole thing where he gets on the motorcycle that's, like, in a box or something.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what?
His Transformer motorcycle.
Yeah.
It's funny where I feel like I've seen the entire movie and I don't care.
Nope. Yeah. Not at all.
Like normally we get mad like they spoil too much. It's like I feel like I've seen everything and I just want to see it like, you know, in a big screen. So I'm either going to see, I work evening shift next week. So I don't know if I want to see it Thursday night like at 10 or just wait till the weekend?
It's 2.5 hours long, dude. I don't know if you want to do that.
I mean, my work, even like if I see it at 10, I'll be done by like, you know, 12, 45, 1. I don't got to get up early Friday, but pardon me. So I wish I could see it at 7. I might mess around and see if I can change my work schedule.
Yeah. Well, I would have seen it sooner, but he hit me up yesterday about it. He's like, hey, are we seeing Hobbs and Shaw while I'm there? And I'm like, if you haven't seen it yet, yeah. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff Kevin and I got, he's got planned. So we'll see how it works out. But that's in a week or two. Right now, thanks for listening. And, yeah, iTunes, all that good stuff, like we always say, and, you know, that kind of good crap. So thank you for listening, and let Sheet take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Mandarin in Shang-Chi.
Fucking ass.
We are out.